Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
From WBEZ Chicago, this is Nerdette. I'm Greta Johnson. We did it. We made it to another weekend. Coming up, we will hear from the youngest American woman to summit Mount Everest.
I don't need to summit. Like, that shouldn't be the ultimate goal. It's just like pushing yourself, pushing your limits. That's really like what I try to do.
But first, let's shake off the week that was with two excellent humans. With us this week, we have cultural critic Kristen Meinzer and comedian Jolenta Greenberg. They are the co-hosts of the podcast By the Book and the new Audible original podcast Romance Road Test. Kristen, Jolenta, hello.
Hi.
Okay, so let's start with the Emmys. The TV award nominations came out this week. HBO did very well. They got award nods for Euphoria, Succession, Barry, The White Lotus, Hacks, among many other shows. The three most nominated shows were Succession and The White Lotus and Ted Lasso, probably unsurprisingly. Abbott Elementary also got a lot, which I thought was really exciting, especially for a first season show as excellent as Abbott Elementary is. Kristen, what are you excited that got some recognition this week?
Well, I'm excited that Hacks was nominated as much as it was. I also was happy that Himesh Patel from Station 11 got a nomination. That show was not perfect by any means, but he was so wonderful in that show. So I was really glad to see that. And I was also really happy to see Maid was nominated for Best Limited Series. I just devoured all of that. I thought, oh, feels like homework. I should watch this show about, you know, domestic violence. But it really had me on the edge of my seat the entire time. And it was so well written, so well acted, so well paced. I loved Maid. So I was really happy about all of those.
Interesting. What do you think, Jolenta? Did you have any particular favorites that you were excited got some credit?
I do have some favorites. I'm glad you mentioned Abbott Elementary because I'm a huge fan of Janelle James, and she got nominated for her role. And I just love that we're seeing people being nominated for being like big and funny and not like little cookie cutters. And I've been a fan of Janelle's since like I started doing comedy around New York. She is one of the nicest like comedians. And it's just so exciting to see like people who do great work by being themselves and like being big and loud, like getting acknowledged.
So Jolenta, when it comes to stuff that maybe didn't get the credit it deserved. I mean, you know, I know a lot of people are really surprised that Reservation Dogs didn't get anything. I was pretty shocked by that. Was there anything that you kind of wished had gotten more attention than it seems to have, at least in terms of nominations?
Yes. And I'm gonna go a little wild and talk about reality TV.
Oh, nice.
And I truly, and I mean, as trashy as some might think it is, I wish there was some acknowledgement of either the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills or Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, the ones that are dealing with actual legal drama,
right?
Because it is fascinating to watch it unfold through the lens of these women whose lives are being turned upside down and just watch how it gets navigated. That along with like other cultural issues that are popping up, like these shows are really focusing on some like larger cultural themes, and I wish more people would like give it a little peek.
Interesting. So if you could, like, what would the award be for, like, best legal drama,
best legal reality drama? I mean, yeah, I guess like best, I wish
best
there was
lawsuit
like,
reaction face.
Yeah, best, like, yeah, best, you know, FBI raid arrest in a parking lot. No, I don't know how it would get acknowledged, but it's just we're starting to acknowledge reality TV. So I think, you know, and I feel like crime and true crime is becoming such a genre that I think
that's
like,
very true.
Why not like look at how these stories are being told and like the way it's being told through these Real Housewives shows is super interesting.
It's fascinating to think of Real Housewives as true crime. I mean, I guess you're not wrong.
Like these recent seasons are like they are filming while, you know, Jen Shah in Salt Lake, like Homeland Security, FBI, like all sort of swoop in on this van where the cast is going to go on a cast trip. Like it's wild.
That is wild. That reminds me of a conversation I had with a friend about Cheer when the second season came out.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, oh, you're describing reality TV. And I was like, no, no, no. Like the person with a journalism master's degree has to insist this is a documentary. But it's like, where is the line, actually? You know what I mean?
And I guess what's the actual category is unstructured reality program? I mean, that tracks, I guess. It is very unstructured feeling.
That's also how I refer to my own life, you know?
Yeah, wait.
Okay, so also this week, NASA released photos from the James Webb Space Telescope. This is the largest space observatory in human history. It is taking gorgeous, high-def pictures of distant galaxies. For the most part, people in my timeline seem just like super enthusiastic about this. They're thrilled to see these gorgeous images. I mean, the images are beautiful. I feel like I'm seeing a lot of people kind of, you know, this is putting everything into perspective and how small I am and how beautiful that really is. I feel like for me personally, I'm a little more torn. Like, I don't know, is this a sorely needed celebration of discovery or is this a high def distraction from the fact that the world is on fire? I feel like both of these things can be true and maybe that's the answer. But I don't know. What do you think, Jolenta?
I truly had my fingers crossed for like some aliens right off the bat. I'm going to be totally honest. The state of the world has got me like just sort of banking on like maybe something from out of this world will come help save us. And I was sort of hoping like maybe this is how we're going to announce it. Be like, look at these beautiful pictures. Also, look at that one. And I mean, like, I feel like, you know, yeah, it's partially a distraction where it's like, here's Hubble, here's Webb. Like, look at how much cooler Webb is. But also, like, we are learning super cool things. Like, I'm not sure if this is an acronym. I think it is WASP 96B, or WASP is what I was calling it in my head, which is like a planet that's outside of our solar system that has a water signature and also like clouds and stuff in the atmosphere. And like, that's a big deal that there's water in the atmosphere and like on a planet that is super far away, an exoplanet. Like, that's a big deal. Like, we are learning big deal things, but also like, we might need to be looking inward to look at some of our issues right now and not like out as far as we can to like the beginning of time.
Yeah, yeah. I love the idea of like an alien photobomb. I think that's hilarious.
I like fully watched like the announcement with the president and vice president. And I was like, amazing. I want to know what happened because they really quickly were like, here are the first photos. And now the press has to leave and we're going to continue the briefing. And I was like, oh, just want to be a fly on that wall.
That's amazing. Kristen, what's your take on it? Are you like super excited space nerd about this kind of thing?
Oh, I'm so amped about this. I mean, I was one of those people who was amped also about the Hubble telescope when it went up, you know? And what we got from the Hubble now just seems like a joke compared to this. These images are so mind-blowingly vivid.
It's amazing.
It's just shocking. It's essentially like looking at pictures from 1.5 billion years ago also because, you know, how light years work. Like, we're essentially looking at images from back in time. And to me, that's amazing. One thing I'm afraid of, just to go back to what Jolenta was saying about like, oh, is there life on other planets? If you're on another planet and you're alive, please hide right now. Protect yourselves. Because I Earthlings, we're not being the best versions of ourselves right now. That being said, one thing I do love about this project is that it encourages Earthlings to be more collaborative with each other, the people who are working on this project. It's a joint project between the European space team, the Canadian one, and NASA. But then on top of that, it's collaborative with all humans on the Earth because we're all allowed to put in a request. Will you zoom in on this? Will you investigate that? And so in a way, it's really trying to tap into our collective curiosity and our collective spirit of just, you know, wanting to discover, wanting to work with each other. And so I think that's really beautiful, even if, you know, it could also be argued we have bigger fish to fry than to look at pictures from, you know, 1.5 billion light years away.
Well, and I think to your point, too, you know, curiosity is one of those things where, you know, I think if more people embraced it, we'd probably be a lot better off, you know.
Oh, yeah. If we asked more questions instead of dictated so much, I'm sure that would help all of us. Yeah.
Interesting.
I like it.
So the French novelist Marcel Proust's birthday was last weekend, which got me thinking about the Proust questionnaire. This is like a list of questions that Proust didn't actually invent, but apparently he kind of helped popularize them. It's essentially like a late 1800s Myers-Briggs, if you will. I think some of these questions are super charming. There's like, what do you consider to be the most overrated virtue? What's your idea of perfect happiness? If you were to die and come back as a person or thing, what would it be? I just think they're really fun. I shared the list with both of you ahead of time. Do you have a favorite on that list? What do you think, Kristen?
Oh, yeah. I love the overrated virtue one that you just mentioned.
Right?
One thing I really love about that is I don't want to say like, I'm a, you know, I'm judgmental or mean or whatnot, but
go on.
Maybe I am a little bit judgmental. Maybe I'm a little bit mean, and maybe it's fun to make fun of, like, we don't need to be all perfect all the time. Mm. And some of these things that are supposedly what make us better, maybe those things don't actually make us better. So can I just tell you how much I like cheese and gluttony? And it's just... And maybe it's just fun to talk with people about, like, I like being slutty. So what? You know? You do too? Great. Sit next to me.
I love
so that. I think that's really fun. It's fun and it allows us to let loose. It allows us to laugh at ourselves and maybe laugh at some of the constraints that society puts on us as humans and how some of those expectations are malarkey.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love the idea of like the other side of the overrated virtue coin is totally the favorite sin coin. And that's really
fun. Oh,
so
good.
Yes.
Jolenta, do you have a favorite getting to know question that you like in general? Like my friend Betsy loves, it's like, if you could be any, or if you were any salad green, what would you be?
Ooh.
Which I think is a really fun one because, I mean, there are a lot of different greens out there, right? But I don't know. Do you have kind of a go-to like that that you use out in the world, Jolenta?
I mean, mine's pretty simple. I just like to know what people are watching. And I feel like that's usually an in somehow into like something they're interested in, curious about, something you may have in common, something you might want to know more about. And like it helps sort of open that door, but it's not as clever as like, I would be arugula. Like that's way cooler.
Yeah, a little bitter, you know, but still fresh.
I don't know if I actually would be, but like.
Amazing. What do you think, Kristen? I really like that, you know, just like what's the last book you read that you really liked? I think that's an easy in.
Oh, that's a good one too. But I usually just ask people, what's the best thing that happened to you this week?
Oh, and that's beautiful.
That way, like sometimes I find like if I'm asking for like favorite books or favorite movies or favorite TV shows, which I get asked those a lot because I'm a culture critic. I just spend way too long thinking like, well, that was my favorite book like last year, but what about the most recent book that I read or whatever?
Well, and how can I reverse engineer my answer to convey being interesting in a very specific sort of way, depending on who I'm talking to?
Yeah, all of that. And then I end up in a tailspin and then I forget what the question was. So I try to ask people questions usually that get to something that puts a smile on their own face, puts them in a good mood, opens them up to talking a little bit about themselves, and something that is open-ended. So that's why I ask about, like, what's the best thing that happened to you this week? Because it really can be anything, you know?
Yeah.
They don't really have to, like, do a complete inventory of every second of every minute of every day of the last week before they come up with an answer. You know, they often just say, you know what? Something happened to me on the way here. I met this nice dog on the street. And I'm like, oh, my God, meeting dogs is the best, isn't it? Tell me more about that dog. Yeah. But yeah, the best thing can be anything. And it can be a lot of fun. It can be really goofy. And it can get to a really good story about, you know, where they're at in life, at their job, and their relationship with their friends and whatnot.
Well, and it's still so much more interesting than what do you do or where did you go to college or...
Oh, so boring.
So many of those
questions are so boring.
Like, yeah, let's break that wide open. Okay, so in that spirit, I think before I let you go, Jolenta, what's the best thing that happened to you this week?
Oh, the best thing that happened to me this week was, on a few days ago, we celebrated my dog's birthday. It's just like the day he saw the vet when he got like brought into like whatever shelter he was brought into. But we celebrated anyway, and he made these homemade peanut butter bacon biscuits, and giving those treats to my dog, watching him lose his mind because he thinks he's having like the most decadent people food, like made for him, like still warm from the oven. Like, it was the highlight of my week for sure. Just like watching his joy in scarfing that down. Cutest thing in the world.
That's so sweet. What do you think, Kristen?
Well, the easy answer is being here with you and Jolenta.
Oh, this is love it.
Absolutely wonderful. And it's true. This is such a fantastic moment in my week. But in addition to that, last night it started to rain and I turned to my husband and I said, do you want to go out and get a piña colada? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to be caught in the rain with you. And so we went out, and there's this little bar in our neighborhood, and we sat outside in the rain, and the server brought us out piña coladas and then started singing the song to us.
Wow.
So it was everything we wanted it to be, and cheesy and funny, and who doesn't love, you know, a little bit of rain with a dramatic sky? It was beautiful.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute. Kristen, Jolenta, thank you both so much. This was such a delight.
Thank you.
In just a minute, we're going to hear from a teenager who climbed Mount Everest. How awesome is that?
Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to the Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Our next guest is a total badass.
I just recently summited Mount Everest, and with that set the world record as the youngest American woman to summit Everest.
Her name is Lucy Westlake, and she grew up outside Chicago.
I'm 18. I turned 18 in November, so 18 and a half, technically.
So I'm sure you're familiar with that quote from George Mallory, who said the reason he climbed Everest was because it was there. But I'm curious, like, why the hell did you do that, Lucy? It can't be, like, easy. It can't always be fun, right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. There's some points where it's definitely, I definitely question why I'm up there. but I just am drawn, like, to the mountains. I can't stay away. Every time I'm away for too long, I'm like, oh, I need to be back. Like, it just, when I'm up there, I'm like the most me, you know? Like, that's really, like, where I feel free. But Everest, like I do kind of need that like deeper motivation too, because after Denali, my first time I went when I was 13, we took 21 days on the mountain and then didn't summit because there was an accident. It was really tough because I was like, wow, like this could happen on any mountain. There's so many uncontrollable things. Even if I like do my best, I feel physically fine.
Right.
It can still go all wrong. And that's where I kind of found a deeper motivation that I don't need to summit. Like that shouldn't be the ultimate goal. It's just like pushing yourself, pushing your limits. That's really like what I try to do. Probably like the one thing I don't like about them is that it's really like kind of an exclusive community. It's like very male dominated. And like, it's just a stereotype where you have to be big and buff because you have to carry these like heavy backpacks up. But I just hope to set an example that you really don't. Like, if I can do it, I'm pretty small. Like, I'm like not even 5'4". Like, I can climb these mountains. I can carry up my backpack. So I hope that seeing me up there will inspire other people to like, to really like chase their dreams if they love the mountains, no matter what anyone thinks.
So can you tell us about the moment when you like made it to the top of Everest? What was that like?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's crazy. It's like, it's really indescribable, but it was just so beautiful. Like, the sun had risen about an hour before, and there was just like really low clouds. So there was just these beautiful big peaks, like snow covered peaks all around every single way, just like sticking out of these, like towering over these clouds.
Wow. So kind of like when you're looking from the plane and you see that, right? Like when you're above the clouds. That's so crazy.
Yeah. A plane is definitely like the best kind of comparison, because you are like really, you're about the same height as a plane.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Oh my God. That's so crazy. So this is maybe a stupid question, but like when you summit, like how long do you hang out up there before you're like, all right, well, let's head back down then, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Cause sometimes, like, I mean, it took us 25 days to get up there.
Right.
You want to spend a little time at the summit. You don't want to just like, oh, okay, made it.
Okay. Time for lunch.
Yeah. So we spent about like 20, 25 minutes up there. That was like, I thought like a good amount of time, because we got there pretty early. Like, we were one of the first ones to summit. So that allowed us to kind of take more time up there. And I think if we were like behind more in the crowd, it would have been a little bit more crowded, and other people would have wanted to get to the top and stuff. So it was great.
That's crazy. And how cold is it up there?
Definitely below zero. I'm not positive exactly what the temperature was,
sure,
but with the wind,
oh, God.
Oh my goodness. Sometimes the wind like almost knocked me off my feet. Like, I would like stumble because of it.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. It's really strong.
Wow. So yeah. Tell us about your Sherpa. What was he like?
Oh, he was the sweetest. So his name was Mingma, and he was just like the most patient, like soft-spoken, sweetest person ever. He was a monk for 8 years before he started climbing. We were like telepathic by the end almost. Like, you like work so much together. You climb so much that like, you just like know what the other person, like you learn their body language, you learn a lot about them. So
wow.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That's really
the only
cool.
thing that he didn't do was play cut. Like my dad was my client. Like, I've climbed every other mountain with him, and we always play cards in the tent, and Mingma did not play cards with me. My only regret.
So what do you eat on a trip? Like, is it just like beef jerky for days?
Oh God, I would die. No, I am not a fan of beef jerky, but that's a classic mountain food, and I can't eat it. But okay, Everest is actually so different from any other mountain I've been on, because it's so there's so many people up there that it's really a lot of infrastructure. So at base camp, they literally had a chef like would cook 3 meals a day, and they were good meals. Like, you ate well at base camp. I was not losing any weight up there. Then at camp 3 and 4, that's when you carry your own stuff. You carry your own food and make your own food. So all you can do up there, you bring a little stove and you melt snow for water, and then you can boil that water. So that's like the only way of cooking you have. Mm-hmm. So there's these things called freeze-dried meals, and I have them for dinner, where you literally just pour in water, and it's like dehydrated food, and it rehydrates it and makes it into like a meal. And there's actually some really good ones out there. Like, I really enjoy some of them.
Interesting. So like, you're about to start your freshman year of college. Like, I don't know, I guess I'm extra fascinated, given that you've already had all of these crazy adventures in the 18 years that you've been alive. Like, I don't know. Are you excited for school? Are you nervous?
Oh, I'm so excited. Like, beyond excited. I'm going to be running there. So I'm starting cross country in the fall, and I'll be doing track in the spring. I'll never stop climbing. I know that. Like, I just can't stay away from the mountains. But like, I know it'll be a little bit more difficult with college sport. Like, I really want to be like, to stay true to my commitment to my college sport. Like, I committed to 4 years, and I want to dive really into that and just commit myself to that. But I'm trying to do the Explorers Grand Slam, which is climbing to the highest mountain in each continent, and then also going to the North and South Pole. So with Everest, I've done 5 of the 7. So I'm working towards that goal, because I want to try to break the record as the youngest person to do it. So that person is 20. So we'll see if hopefully that happens. But after that, I'm not positive. I kind of like to focus on one goal at a time, but I have kind of in the back of my mind, maybe doing like the 14 peaks over 8,000 meters. I know a lot of people are doing that right now. And that would be, I mean, that's kind of, I feel like the ultimate like challenge. Like those are the biggest mountains in the world. And I've already done Everest, one checked off. So 13 more, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I'm so excited to see what's next for you, Lucy. Thank you so much for chatting with me about it. And congratulations, girl.
Oh, thank you. You're really sweet.
All right, that's it for this week. Thanks, as always, for listening along. Did you know we have a newsletter? I think it's pretty fun. It comes out every Friday morning. Anna and I both put links to stuff we're into, recipes, books, TV shows, wildlife news. It's really a pretty great variety of things. And you can sign up for it if you go to wbez.org/nerdetteaf. That newsletter is built by Maggie Civet. The show is produced by me and Anna Bauman, and Brendan Banaszak is our executive producer. All right, we will see you next week.
Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to the Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.